Welcome to Reality TV, your source for snarky reality TV recaps. I'm Jody, your best friend and inner voice, as together we cringe watch all the shows we love and love to hate. For all premium content and bonus episodes, become a member at patreon.com/realitytvpod. You can also find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at realitytvpod or realitytvpodcast.com for links and so much more. And now, on with the show. Hello, welcome back to the show. I have to tell you, I have to be honest, last night's episode of Sister Wives, it was painful. It damn near put me to sleep. I thought the mission statement and wet bar episodes set a pretty high bar for beating a dead horse, but holy turd bomber, the Liberty March episode shall forever be known as the Purgatory March because we sat there for 2 hours and listened to Cody repeat the same thing over and over again. I mean, I'd rather watch Mary yell at her customers during a flash sale of, I would even say holiday LuLaRoe leggings, and you know that's bad. I'd rather watch that for 12 hours straight than suffer through 2 hours of this March episode. So let's just use the buddy system, hold virtual hands, just like Mary did with her internet boyfriend, who wasn't really her boyfriend because she was a victim. And let's just get through this together because there were a few little gems along the way. Now we begin at Christine's house with a very somber looking Cody. He has some news he'd like to discuss, so he and Christine text the other wives to come on over for a meeting in Christine's library. Strangely enough, her library didn't seem to contain many books, but there was a very large dining room table. I may have missed something here, however, because my husband was offering to go get Shamrock Shake, so I lost focus. I mean, priorities, people. Shamrock Shakes always come first. I allow myself one a season, and then I just live for that nice green hint of chemical, non-dairy thickening agent until the next year. But let's get back to the Browns. Okay, don't worry. They haven't talked about too much while we were gone. We basically get a refresher in the legal system with a little Cody twist. When the family moved from Utah to Las Vegas, they filed a lawsuit against the state of Utah. 2 years later, they won that lawsuit, but the state appealed the ruling. So the court then sided with the state, saying that since the Browns weren't even living in Utah anymore, the state wasn't a threat to them and their family. So then the Browns sent that ruling to the Supreme Court, but then the Supreme Court refused to review the case. So now the lawsuit is dead. It's as if they never did anything at all. I mean, I wonder how much money they spent on this, by the way. Now, at this meeting in the library, they're deciding what they should do next. Do they keep fighting this? Well, Robin says she's still processing it, but she's feeling hopeless at this point. Janelle is ready to fight it. She's taking her gloves off, and she's going to go at it with Cody like he's wrestling with his boyfriends. Christine is scared to death because she wants to move back to Utah, but she knows realistically nothing is going to change. And Mary, what does Droopy Dog think about this? Well, at first she says she still thinks about how they had to make plans way back when, who's going to raise the kids if they stayed in Utah and they were arrested. But then later, she is all aboard this protest train. But more on that in a bit. The conversation quickly changed from this lawsuit to who is going to go to Joe Darger's march. Oh, this freaking march. Joe Darger has decided to be the face of polygamists. They want to destigmatize it. Not all polygamists are pedophiles, and they're feeling persecuted because of Warren Jeffs, that FLDS kind of sect. So they want to have the rights to marry who they want to marry, take their secrecy away so that all that bad stuff doesn't happen. Now, that sounds all good and fine, but here's where I started side-eyeing Cody and Joe Darger. Not the cause, because honestly, I really don't care who you marry. As long as no one's getting hurt, you're all consenting adults, no kids are being harmed, I couldn't care less. But in Cody's words, Joe Darger, quote, suffered severe persecution and prejudice. Tell me more, white male who owns 4 homes and 14 cars. Please shed some light on this severe persecution and prejudice. I am really starting to wonder if Cody has read any other books besides the Bible. By all means, read your Bible, that's great. But does he even know what is happening right now all over the world or past events in U.S. or world history? Now, I'm admittedly still fired up from Love After Lockup, AJ's racism rant this weekend, so maybe I'm just being a little bit too touchy about this. So here's the thing about this march in general. If they go to the march in Salt Lake City, they can be arrested. There's a real risk that they could go to jail, and then who's going to take care of the kids? Now, we're talking legal guardianship, not just who's going to watch them when they're in jail, because remember, they're not all legal parents to one another's kids. We really needed Heidi Klum at this point just to jump in, tell us who's in, who's out, because this who's going to go, who's not, dragged on past the first hour of the show. Now, Christine doesn't want her kids to see her arrested, so she's got to think about it. Robin says, well, I have babies. I have little kids. Yeah, so right off the bat, we already figured that Queen Robin isn't going to go, and this is going to be her way to flake out. Just use the kids as an excuse. Janelle is ready to pack up and go. And Mary? Well. Mary thinks everyone should go no matter what. She says it seems so much less impactful if we don't all go. Bullshit. Am I the only one that is pretty sure that if Mariah were younger, Mary would not go? She would be saying, I'm the only parent for Mariah because she's an only child. I can't go. But now that Mariah is out of the house, Mary doesn't give a fuck. She's going, so everyone else should go. No one else's kids are important, right? And by the way, since when is Mary all about doing things together? She makes me want to pull a Kyle and scream at her, you're such a fucking liar, Camille. So now Cody calls for a huddle to pray and Christine starts crying. And I figured out pretty damn quick that Christine cries in the same high octave that she sings in. Can you even imagine the sonic screech that she must emit if she steps on a Lego or sees Truly approaching her in the dark? Now, fast forward to Ron Reynolds, attorney at law, dun, dun, dun. Now, they actually played dun, dun, dun music, which was probably the most thrilling thing in this lawyer's life. He's never had a better edit. Doesn't look like he gets much action in that strip mall office, which looked strangely familiar to Ala's modeling agency on Love After Lockup. Ron goes on to advise them that they need to plan for a durable power of attorney in case they get arrested. That way the other wives will have legal right to make decisions for the kids and keep them in their care, you know, if they're gone long term. Huh, great scene. That was fun. Ugh. Now, back at whoever's house has the temporary custody of the chairs with giantism, well, they're holding a family meeting. Enough with these family meetings. I mean, do they not realize these meetings are the leading cause of monogamy in their children? But yet again, Cody drones on and on about this case. And then I see him. Caleb. Someone tell me why a grown man and in-law is now sitting with the kids at mommy and daddy's meeting. Get the hell upstairs and start sending out some resumes or submitting some applications. It's like Caleb gets off on the head pats, the admiration he gets from the Browns, and the Browns, for some reason, God only knows why, they think Caleb is cool and that like his cool is going to rub off on them. So here we go. Questions, concerns, kids. Who wants to go? Well, Isabel, and I have a hard time saying Isabel because it's spelled with a Y, so really it's like Isabel, asked if they can go to jail. Yeppers. What'd I tell about yeppers? Now, Peyton has his arms crossed and has zero desire to go, and he thinks that there's no point. Well, Mary pipes in now. If I had my way, every single one of us would be there. Oh, really, Mary? Tell me more. I was kind of shocked Peyton didn't want to go. I was disappointed, to be honest. Mary, of all people, is expressing her shock and disappointment. I love how she's so open about being disappointed in someone else's child. Can you even imagine if someone said they were disappointed and shocked by something Mariah said or did? Ugh, Mary is such a bitchy hypocrite. Now, at this point, Christine has decided to go. She really, really wishes Peyton, her only son, would go with her and the girls. But he's 18 or he's old enough, he's an adult, and he's got some valid reasons for not going. We get this little montage that, to be honest, it almost made me tear up. There's this clip of little Peyton years ago hearing that they were moving. And then he's telling us that it was the darkest and hardest years of his life. Even Christine said he went from being the happiest kid to her angriest kid. And my heart just broke for him because, honestly, he is such a well-spoken, articulate, smart kid. I really came to love him after this episode, just the way he was joking around with Christine later. Peyton gets my seal of approval, so Mary can just fuck off with her disappointment. Now, what about Robin? Did you ever even have to wonder? Of course Robin's not going to go to the march because she's Robin. She claims she wants to go, but she'll take one for the team and hold down the fort. But no, don't say that, Cody. Don't say I'm holding down the fort. Robin says she's not staying to hold down the fort, Cody. She's staying so there's an adult there. Yeah, anyone care to tell me the difference? She's just trying to get out of going, let's be honest, but she doesn't want anyone to be keen on what she's doing. Well, now they look to Maddie and they ask her, hey, what do you think about going to the march? And what does she do? She looks to Caleb as if her tongue got cut out and she can't speak any longer because she's got a case of the marrieds and pregnant. I hate that. It is your parents. Why are you looking at your husband to speak for you? Well, even though Caleb's religion, which is now Maddie's religion too, even though they don't approve of polygamy, Caleb likes the Browns, so he'll allow it, and he and Maddie are going to go to the march. Hey, Mary, you have a lot to say on who should be going. What about Mariah? Is she going? I don't know. She's in discussions with some people. I don't know. Oh, okay. So it's okay if Mariah doesn't go or that you don't know if she's going, but not for anyone else. Got it. Now, fast forward to Christine bringing her power of attorney over to Robin's house. Peyton ends up elaborating a little bit on his opinion that even if polygamy ends up being decriminalized, there are still going to be people who disagree with it, and those people will treat him differently, his family differently. So he really has no desire to go to Utah, a state where they're extra prejudiced against him. So no, he's going to take a hard pass on this one. Now over at Robin's, we hear her really strange baby talk voice as she's talking to baby Areola. Don't think we've ever heard it. It's like a weird, you gonna put your baby in there? Gonna put your baby in there? It was bizarre. Now Christine says she's really happy that Robin is staying behind. She's completely comfortable leaving her kids with her. Now, that was such a passive-aggressive way to say two things. Number one, yes, I'm happy Robin is staying home because, thank God, Mary isn't staying because I don't trust her with my kids. And number two, thank God Robin's staying because I'm Cody's second favorite and I get to bone Cody on this trip. Now, there was actually a sweet moment with our boy Dayton and Robin. Robin was looking rough. But Dayton comes in and he asks, are you okay, Mom? Don't worry. It was just so sweet. Come to find out, Robin isn't sending any of her kids. Just Dayton because he's older. Yeah, real interesting, right? Everyone else's kids can go, but oh, Robin's don't. I see you. Also interesting is how Robin thinks government works. She goes on for quite a while about how lawmakers should go to these polygamous communities, knock on their doors, ask if they're happy, ask if they're safe, ask if they're afraid. Are they afraid of you? Don't talk to the men. talk to the women because they're strong. They're working on loving their sister wives if they don't already. Gee, why would she be thinking that? Okay, Robin, sounds like a good plan, but yeah, it doesn't work that way. Maybe if you're wanting to change the fifth grade kickball rules at recess, you can do that, but it's going to take a lot more than just knocking on doors and you crying. And man, did she live up to her nickname, Sobbin' Robin, last night. Now, after a commercial break, Cody is back on the couch with a fresh new disastrous blowout. His hair this season, oh my Mormon, it's a good thing this is the last season of Sister Wives, because I don't think his hair cuticles can take any more heat styling or stage lighting at this point. Well, fast forward a little bit again, and now we're in the great state of Utah, and they're headed to a friend's house for a meeting. There's no threat of being arrested tonight, but everyone else at the meeting are the who's who of Utah's most wanted polygamist. We see a very slurry and grumpy Joe Darger and his wives, Vicky, Valerie, and Alina. We also see, dun 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 dun, Drew Briney. I actually kind of gasped when I saw him, like when you're a kid and you see your teacher outside school grounds, like, oh, world's colliding, cannot compute, what's going on? And I also think the guy and his wives from that new show that's airing this week, it's like My Three Wives or something, I think he was there. Now we also get to see Angela, the new Briney wife. She's telling the rest of the group how her coworkers are going to the march and they see this issue as more of a civil rights issue, not so much just a polygamy thing separate. Gee, I also wonder why Drew didn't bring April that night. Now, I gotta be honest here. I'm not sure why this whole group has chosen Joe Darger as the spokesperson, their guy, whatever title he is, because he comes across as a real dick to me. He might be a nice guy, I don't know, but his personality is as cold as ice. He looks like he's pissed off and about to snap at all times, but maybe they just don't have anyone better. I mean, Cody, he's been the center of way too many dance circles to be taken seriously. Drew Briney, pass. I would have passed even before I knew about his Renaissance fair and magician past. I mean, who else is there really? All right, so let's just fast forward to the march already because, I mean, we suffered through 2 hours and now you're having to listen to me for 20 minutes. So Mariah shows up, one of the signs offends her, blah, blah, blah. Caleb is looking for the cops the whole time because he knows his childlike chipmunk cheeks are not even going to allow him an hour of survival in jail. McKelty and Tony's officiant showed up. I think he was just dumping off all the extra frisbees that Christine accidentally left at his house. But they start this marching, all, what, 50 of them? I mean, it was a really small march. It was more of a follow the leader kind of situation. And one of Joe Darger's wives had a little drum she was beating at one point. I don't really know what she was doing, but that was her job. So they walk down the block to the Capitol, and Joe Darger takes the podium and says, "I love you, polygamists. I love this country." Well, that's all I got because my shamrock shake arrived at this point, but I did catch Christine breaking the microphone and then saying, "I broke the mic. That's not weird, unfortunately." What? "I broke the mic. That's not weird, unfortunately." It was almost as weird as her saying, "I married badass Cody Brown." Okay. But the weirdest of all was when she finished, she said truly knew what she was saying and truly was the reason that she came. Yeah, I think I know what she meant, like as a mother, your child being there, you're fighting for your child, but, well, you know. Now, in a more relaxed setting at dinner, we get to see how cool and hip Caleb is when he says, "Raise the roof." Yeah, I hate when wives swat at their husbands, like, "Stop it." But that would be worthy of a really good swat with an eye roll if I were Maddie. Now, it was funny to hear Logan and Cody estimate the crowd at 400 to 450 people because there is no way. There's no possible way. Did you guys see 400 people? Was I searching for my cherry that McDonald's forgot to fucking put in my shake. I mean, what the hell? But anyway, maybe I missed the crowd, but I would say there were 75 to 100 people tops. Moral of the story, House Bill 99 passed and polygamy is still illegal. Yes, Mary, Janelle, and Christine are going to have fun finding a new place when Cody and Robin move back with the kids. Kisses! Now, moving on to seeking sister wife. Well, I tell you what, two out of three of these families are getting their taste of how quickly news spreads on social media. Let's talk about the Snowdens first. Last week, I read a few different social media posts written by the Snowdens' former sister wife. It's on episode 69, I believe, if you're still needing a little refresher. Now, since then, that former sister wife and Jocelyn have been chatting and exchanging notes. With everything coming out about them, along with Dimitri's shady past and business dealings and Ashley's desire to be an actress, yeah, I see these two as opportunists, meaning Dimitri and Ashley, not the former sister wife and Jocelyn. Ashley and Dimitri are opportunists. They've had this whole show planned out from the start. They knew exactly how things with Jocelyn were going to go because they planned it that way. And last night's episode just confirmed it for me, as I'm sure it did many of you. Right off the bat, Ashley is FaceTiming with her sister who lives in California. Her sister asks, "How's your new boo?" Interesting wording, right? I mean, to me, this shows what the former sister wife was saying is true, that Ashley is wanting a sister wife for herself too. I mean, your boo, that's not really the wording you use for a friend, right? So Ashley explains, "Oh, it didn't work out. They had to move on and things didn't work out the way they wanted to." And sure enough, Ashley says it's because, oh, whose fault is it? Jocelyn. Jocelyn didn't want to discuss how she and Dimitri spent the night together. Like Dimitri had nothing at all to do with it, right? He was just bending down to pick up his scrunchie and, oh, whoops, his pee-pee fell out and landed on Jocelyn. Now, once again, listen to Ashley's sister's response here. She says, "Sucks to see she wasn't interested in the both of you." Yeah, because Ashley wants someone interested in her too. Interested in her boobies and her X marks the spot of a soon-to-be episiotomy. So what's Ashley to do? Such a struggle she's facing. I mean, here's an idea. Ever think of someone that you already know? Wow, I never thought of that, sister. Good idea. Let me go check Facebook and LinkedIn. Bye. I mean, it was so freaking fake. And you know what else is fake? This, "Oh, here, I brought you some water," says Dimitri. No, never in my, God, how long have I been married? What, almost 13 years? Has Dave walked in with a lukewarm glass of water, no ice? Oh, you know, just perchance I was thirsty and sat down in the bedroom to talk. No. I mean, do you guys even drink water like that? It doesn't happen that way. So anyway, Ashley tells Dimitri that her sister had this crazy idea that she should think of people she already knows who might want to live with them and screw them both. Oh, you know what? Guess what? This is so strange. You know, Ashley actually has this friend that she's been talking to for some time, and they have a really good relationship. They have similar family values. I mean, they haven't actually met in real life. They just talk online. But Ashley thinks this friend will be totally down for moving in with her five kids and becoming a polygamist. We need to cut the BS. Ashley and Dimitri are polyamorous, right? And if that's your thing, fine. But don't carry on in front of the whole world that you're some wholesome polygamous family when you really just both want to sleep with the same woman, right? So Dimitri sees this woman's photo. Her name is Jakira, I think, and he says she's cute. And as if we didn't need any more proof that Ashley wants to get down with Jakira, she ponders aloud with a giant smile on her face. "You know, maybe she was putting it out there that she was interested and I didn't catch it." Yeah, okay. You're going to need to put the acting dream on hold, Ashley, because your truth is showing. So fast forward to this FaceTime date with Jakira. Jakira answers, and she's in the same pose that female prisoners are in when they take their prison pen pal photos. And she says that both Ashley and Dimitri are beautiful people. Dimitri says she's pretty fly, too. I think Jakira needs a cough drop, as do I, and some tea with honey because she could narrate the Shawshank Redemption with that bass. Now, throughout the whole conversation, Ashley is just chomping away on, I don't know, some dates or kumquats or something. And all that mixed cliche starts coming out. Oh, I envision a tribe and blah, blah, blah. I mean, I was done with the bullshit at this point. Because, of course, Dimitri and Ashley like her because they've been talking to her all along. Jocelyn just got pulled in to make a good storyline for the show. I am not buying it, and I really hope that you guys aren't either. Okay, well, let's take a turn towards the west, and let's see what's up with the Aldridges. Now, like I said, a second couple has come into the light. There's some secrets about Jeff's past that has come forward. Turns out he was married before, and he had 8 kids with his previous wife. The youngest of those kids from that marriage are only slightly older than the oldest kids that are in the house now from Charisse and Vanessa. Now, he may still be legally married to that wife. I'm not really sure, but obviously they're separated. Now, I don't know if the wife left because she didn't want to practice polygamy, she didn't want to be first wife, or if they just had issues. But this gets weirder because 2 of Jeff's older kids are married to Vanessa, his wife's siblings. Okay, let me say that again. 2 of his older kids are married to Vanessa's siblings. So his children are also his brother and sister-in-law. Yeah, try not to short-circuit your brain on that one. Now, in this week's episode, Vanessa's arriving home from the hospital. She had that surgery to remove the tumor. It went well, but she's still on the mend. Charisse and her pigtails have been handling it all, but gee, she sure wishes she had an extra set of ovaries around to help a sister wife out. Ring, ring, ring. Who could it be? Calling during craft time. Vanessa, you got this handled? I'm going to answer this ringing telephone. Hello, who is this?
Hi, Charisse. This is Melina.
Oh, hi. How are you? Didn't expect to hear from you. I mean, it was so awkward stage. Clearly, she was expecting a call. Now, you guys, Charisse was breathing so heavily on that phone call. It was like the first time I called and asked to talk to a boy on the phone. Remember, this is way back when we actually had to call the house and pray the parents didn't pick up the phone. They had asked to speak to someone. I mean, she was damn near hyperventilating. Now, I think Charisse has a case of the Ashleys. I think Charisse is way more into Melina than Jeff and Vanessa for a reason. Melina is calling because she wants to apologize for not coming. She says she got a little freaked out, it was just too much, but she would love to see Charisse ASAP. Now, Vanessa scampers off to go get Jeff up from a nap because, I mean, remember, he's a card-carrying ARP member. And then they break the news that Melina called. Vanessa and Jeff are like, eh. But Charisse is running off to go change her undies. Sure enough, Melina and Charisse are going on a date. Oh, I mean, meeting to eat and talk about getting married. Yeah, not a date at all. So here she comes, the mysterious Melina. She says she thinks she owes the family an explanation. You think? But first, a very long and tight hug for Charisse. I mean, Charisse is beaming and says, oh, wow. As soon as Melina starts speaking, I feel like she was trying to put on this fake April Briney or Michelle Duggar soft voice thing, and she said she wants to talk to Charisse especially.
I would appreciate that. We were talking every day, said Charisse. Like, does she have a weird speaking mouth thing?
Anyway, you see, Melina felt a very strong connection with Charisse, but not necessarily Jeff and Vanessa.
Well, Charisse has an explanation for it. Oh, that's all? Don't be silly. Vanessa just had a giant growth taken out of her uterus, so she's been so, so sick, so sick. Just ignore her. I'm here for you. You have me, Melina.
It was so awkward, and it was so needy on Charisse's part. And Melina clearly has some sort of agenda, right? There just seems to be a real incompatibility, and I can't put my finger on it just yet, but I don't trust Melina. Now, next week, we get to see this lunch date with the four of them, and I think the Pioneer Woman is going to keep Melina on the hot seat for a while. Okay, now go grab your walker and your cane because we're heading out to the great outdoors with the Brinies. Left with the decision to sleep at a 74-degree angle and let little Donatello, Leonardo, whatever his name is, roll away out of the tent into the fire pit, Angela has taken Arlie's offer to sleep with her in her bigger tent. Angela jumps at that opportunity and says, yes, before April can offer to let Angela sleep with the angels, if you catch my drift. Well, all this tent talk has made the family hungry, so April starts commandeering the steaks. She tells Angela and Arlie that the most important thing is the fire, so they should get started. So Angela looks at April and says, April, why don't you go get the fire going then, and I'll do the steaks. Boom. Nicely done, Angela. April didn't even have time to snap back, so she just starts trying to figure out the grill while Angela seasons the steaks on her merry little way. Now, after a while, Angela's got to go feed her baby, so she tells the others where the rest of the stuff is. Seems like it was almost done. Oh, well, April loved this. She delivers a low blow to Angela behind her back to the cameras and says she doesn't know what Angela is doing with her baby all the time. I mean, it takes her 2 hours to feed and put her son down for a nap. Who does that? April is a total bitch. I don't know if this is her karma now, like she's on camera and we're all seeing it. I don't know, but she is really, really mean to her celestial family. Now, while Angela is skeptical of April still, which is completely justified by April's comments about her mothering skills and how she's not an active member of the family, Arlie is easily swayed by April's ways. She just goes with the flow because she doesn't want to fight her. What do we have here? Want to see Daddy juggle fire? No, I don't want to see Daddy juggle fire. I don't do professional juggling. No magicians, no Renaissance fair enthusiasts, and no French mimes. Interesting, though, that Drew can juggle fire, but his back flares up when he's sitting near April. Now, the kids skip off to bed, and the adults sit around the fire. Arlie tries to end the night on a happy note, saying that although there can be unhappy moments and she can lose her temper, they'll have angry moments, that's not the end of it. This family is her love and her passion. It's at this point, if you look at April, you can physically see a shift in her eyes. She looks at the other three, turns slightly towards Arlie, and says, thanks, Arlie. You're saying you come back after you're angry, but I'm just not seeing those moments. I've never seen that. I've never heard that. How Arlie didn't backhand that stupid Celtic cowboy hat off her head, I have no idea. Arlie is doing her damn best. She is biting that tongue, and she tells her, you know, Ashley, you've said that to me before. We've had this exact conversation several times. I can name two or three times off the top of my head that you've told me that I act this way. Now, Angela is just sitting there, surely thinking, okay, just stay quiet. Don't make eye contact. This one isn't about you. Keep a low profile, and maybe April won't attack. Now, we really don't get any resolve that night. We're just told, oh, it ruined the night. But fast forward, Drew calls a meeting at home with the wives because their landlord has found out that they are polygamists. And at this point, Drew is done. He is done with the state of Utah. Angela doesn't want to risk losing her son, and Arlie is so tired of having to make her kids live in hiding. Now, Drew has made a decision that they need to move out of the state, so he's starting to look for housing tomorrow. And also starting tomorrow, you ladies start packing up to move. Angela and Arlie are like, aye, aye, Captain. But April, can you just put it off as long as possible? I just really don't want to have to move. I mean, the best was the look that Angela shoots her at that moment. Like, what do you want first, bitch? A black eye or a bloody nose? Now, needless to say, scenes for next week look amazing, as we see April refusing to leave or pack up.
I mean, shit, just leave her there, you guys. Go. This is your chance, right? Well, here's my chance to thank you for popping in today. Check out the show notes for all my social media links and a new shop with some cute Stay Salty logo stuff. Later this week, Teen Mom, Married at First Sight. I'm going to try to get to some counting on, and I'll be getting a super special episode with guests Mandy and Melissa from the Moms and Murder podcast. So be sure to check that out. Thanks so much. Happy last week of February, and stay salty.